Now, you never step over the top of Eddie Van Halen when he's laying down a lick.
That's a great song.
Yeah, it really is. All right, Shane, the Louisville Stars and the Jasper Reds.
Yeah, they played a scintillating 5-0 game last night in Louisville in the inaugural Bluegrass World Series.
Well, there you go.
It started last night, and it goes for another couple of days. So it's super, super
brief. How many teams are in it?
Not very many. There's one from Hattiesburg. I want to say like six.
Really?
Yeah. It's small.
What's the point?
Trying to get people to come watch the Louisville Stars. What do you think the point is?
All right. I guess.
Of course.
Okay.
Now, it was on YouTube last night, so you could watch it. Okay. Monday the 30th, it was the Hattiesburg Black Sox against the...
Yeah.
FCSL Futures, that was at 3:30, and the Louisville Stars and Jasper Reds last night at 7. Tonight, or today, it's the Hoptown Hoppers and the Sterling Express, and the West Chase Express, spelled differently, against the Dubois County Bombers.
All right.
And it's a apparently a round robin all the way until Saturday, where the consolation game and the championship game will take place.
All right.
The roster is not all that different than the ones we saw in Wichita. I'm trying to think of look here at the rosters and find that Jonathan Papelbon is on it now.
Wow.
Chris Burke, Nick Swisher, Paul Janisch, those guys are additions. Jason Wirth played center field last night, and Johnny Damon was in left. All the rest of them we're used to seeing or hearing about: J.D. Drew, Matt Diaz, Jason Repko, Rick Ankiel. The coaches are different. Johnny Bench, Tom Browning, and Doug Flynn among the notable coaches for them. And they have similar stuff going on in Louisville as they had in Wichita. Autograph signings, of course. Chipper Jones bobblehead night, I think, is one of them. So basically, they're trying to piggyback on the popularity, and I won't say success because I don't know if it was a success or failure to bring the Stars to Wichita. I don't know what all they commanded, but Louisville trying to piggyback on what the Kansas Stars did for Wichita. If by first glance, looking at the attendance, a miserable failure. YouTube it. Look it up. Watch the end of that game when Heath Bell strikes out the final Jasper Red. That stadium is mostly empty. And that's the one thing that would not happen here. And clearly we proved that while it wasn't a can't miss, you know, or necessarily all their games got sold out here, which they didn't. But there was a hell of a lot of people that went out and watched those games, and
of course,
it didn't happen in Louisville. So, and again, most of the same cast of characters on that team, former big leaguers, including Adam LaRoche. Now, I don't see Coy Hill's name on the list, and Nate Robertson is not a part of that team. Of course, Adam, Nate, and Coy had a lot to do with putting that bunch together to start with, but there's still enough of them that have that itch to get together once in a summer and play a handful of games. They won't play again until tomorrow, but they won last night. The Louisville Stars did 5-0. They have a roster with a combined 68 Major League All-Star appearances, 20 World Series championships, and 2 members of the National Baseball Hall of Fame now, including Chipper Jones. So,
well, you know, I'd go see it. Not living in Louisville, but, you know, I mean, why not? It certainly was a good draw for the NBC World Series.
Yeah,
what was it, 2 years or 3 years that they had them?
I think they were here 2 years, last year and the year before.
2 years.
Yep.
Okay, and they won it last year, obviously.
Right.
So, but, I mean, think about the mileage that we've gotten from it, just the discussion on this show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I mean, that's pretty cool to have big leaguers like that in your town. Maybe it's not as big a deal as some as other places. I guess not
in Louisville. I mean, but right. Shoot, you got Johnny Bench as your one of your coaches. Tom Browning,
yeah,
you know, former Red that threw a perfect game or no hitter.
Yeah, no kidding.
But then of course, you know, Chipper is one of the headliners. He was here last year. But yeah, I didn't really notice anything on the periphery of why. I don't know if there was a rain delay or what, but like I said, in the last out, that was an empty stadium that they played in front of. But yeah. So be it. That's the bluegrass, the inaugural bluegrass tournament in Louisville. The big boys, Major League Baseball, the Oakland Athletics have become the first team to sell season tickets that won't be attached to a particular seat.
Hmm.
Now, it says a lot, and I don't think that's a ringing endorsement for the attendance so far in Oakland, but at least they're trying to do something about it. The team announced that it's called A's Access. It'll allow fans to buy tickets for a package of games that don't include the same seat for each game. Why is this such a hard concept to finally grasp?
Well, I
think that's a great idea.
Oh, I think it's a great idea. I love the look. I go to games. I have a press pass. That's how I go to games. But at some point, I'm going to be a fan and not a member of the media. Mm-hmm. Covering things. And so I've started to look at plans and how you can, I mean, you know, I probably wouldn't be interested and for 81 games. I mean, I'm not a season ticket guy, but I'm a, you know, give me 20 or 22 or 25 games a season that I'm, you know, so I like different kind of packages that allow you some flexibility. And why wouldn't teams do that more regularly? Get outside of the normal box of the way that you sell tickets to approach as many consumers as you possibly can and entice them. I mean, you know, it's a good idea.
Yeah. And
anything's good.
To be fair, teams have gone to the flex packs, you know, 2 games, 3 games, 10 games. As soon as tickets go on sale on Friday for the 2019 season, A's fans will have a chance to buy a 10-game, 24-game, half-season, or full-season plan. Now, that's not really new. But what is they can pick which games they want to go to and where they want to sit for those games in the sections they paid for. Depending on the price point, fans will get a certain amount of upgrades, and they'll be able to use 4 hours before a game. They can pick a reserve seat and have access to general admission areas for every game. And anyone who buys or even splits this plan is an access member who's eligible for discounts, including half-off concessions. That's the genius of this right here.
Because that is. That's smart.
You get totally gouged when you want to eat or drink at a ballpark. A 20-ounce beer will cost $4. Which is
a great sale.
That's
like 60% off.
Yes, beers at ballparks are $9 or $10. A 20-ounce beer would cost you $4, and a $5 soda would cost $2.50. And
wow,
the A's COO Chris Giles was quoted as saying, "Quote: We basically are saying we are tired of nickel and diming you. Thanks for supporting the A's." Unquote. How refreshing is that? To not only offer that, but to admit that. The cheapest plan is a 24-game package in the upper deck for $240. The cheapest full-season plan, 81 games, $871. Pretty affordable when you think of the game-by-game savings.
Yes, you do. Yeah, it is.
Now, we're not talking about parking here yet, though, either.
Right,
They'll get you with parking. What?
Where behind the taking away the obvious answer of right behind home plate, if you were to buy a package, where would you want your seats generally to be?
Hmm. Well, you know, now that nets are up in every major league ballpark, the danger is taken away, which, I mean, call me crazy, but that might be something that would have kept me from being above the dugout because of line drives and bats and whatnot. But right. Now that there are nets up there, wouldn't you want to be behind the dugout?
I think that's probably a good spot.
I think that's it. You get to see the players coming on and off the field. You get, you know, if a game is not well attended, you can hear them talking. You mm-hmm. can mess around with a guy yep. in the on deck circle. Behind the dugout, I think absolutely,
yeah.
And maybe even more so than behind the plate. I think I'd rather be above the dugout than behind the plate.
Yeah, I think I probably would too. I don't mind outside of the obvious ones from first to third base, you know, which is, I think, where most people would want to sit. I don't mind in some ballparks. I don't mind the first row of the second deck in that same area. You get a little bit different perspective up high. I can go down the lines a little bit. Once you start getting to the corner, they're not my favorite seats.
Yeah.
I'm not much of an outfield guy unless I'm wandering with a beer in my hand. Then I'm okay.
Yes. For those that have the 360 concourses.
Yep.
If you sit out
Then it's okay. Yeah. Because that's kind of fun. You can kind of move a little bit, watch a half inning, watch a couple of outs, mm-hmm. move around a little bit, and you get a different perspective. I kind of like that. I like ballparks where you can kind of get out and move around because it changes the way, well, it obviously changes the way that you watch the game, but it gives you such a different kind of perspective. So that's kind of cool. That's one of the reasons I like the K.
Yeah.
Because you can go everywhere.
Yeah, when I went up a couple of Fridays ago with my boy, we sat for probably 5 outs. Now, a lot of that had to do with hanging out with Jamie Bluma because he knew everybody in the entire stadium, and he's like, hey, let's go over here, let's go over here, let's go. But we got into a luxury box for a little bit. We stood in the Diamond Club for a little bit, stood down the third base side for a little bit, walked out to the Royals Hall of Fame for a little bit. And as it turned out, that was probably the best way to do it because even if you love baseball and you live and die with every pitch – that's not going to kill you to get up and walk around and really experience the whole ballpark, and that's what we did.
No.
So I'm with you. And I really enjoyed it. It didn't used to be this way when it was Royals Stadium, but now that you can walk out into the outfield or beyond the outfield. It used to be it was just the fountains out there and a berm, and that was it.
Yeah.
No seating out there. Well,
you got it all now.
Oh,
and
God.
There's energy.
Oh, yeah.
And it's fun. I mean, you know, it's fun. I mean, there's all sorts of kids out there in the mini K.
Yeah.
And there's just lots of different things going on. The vibe and the energy in big league parks now are, to me, are very inviting. Very inviting. It's really a lot of fun. So
and
anyway,
you got to be family friendly, forward thinking. Mm-hmm. And at least with that ballpark in Oakland, the COO realizes, hey, we need to think outside the box and have a little incentive for for those coming to actually watch us play, and we need to reward them. And I think they've done that. And the Padres thought outside the box with their deal. come watch a bunch of games until we win 5. You know,
my wife, who is a marketer. And deals with promotions and things of that nature, thought that was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Loved the idea. Absolutely loved it.
Between the Padres and the A's, they're both, in essence, saying, this is about you guys, not about us. You, the fans. We want you to feel like you're getting not only a bang for your buck, but getting treated fairly instead of us just gouging you at every turn. Between parking, concessions, memorabilia, anything that you buy once you're there. I mean, you take your family to a major sporting event, a professional sporting event, it's going to set you back a lot of money.
It does.
And so now, finally, the Padres organization, the A's organization, have admitted it, and said, you know what? We want to give you a break. And good on them for doing it. Now, it's not as
simple. And by the way, in the A's case, you've got a contender. So, right. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, that, I mean, that, that may, that's pretty enticing.
And this is, and this is for next year, too.
Yeah.
And we're talking about 2019. So, regardless of how good or bad they are, they're kind of doubling down on this, hey, let's be more fan friendly. Let's thank our fans for being A's supporters. So,
yeah, no question about it. All right, with that, we'll take our final break, come back, get to a shortened version of On This Day in History, get you ready for the rest of the day right here on your sports station, KFH. Shane and Bruce with you, back in a moment.
This is Sports Daily with Bruce and